Log Talk Radio. Too much salt can drive up blood pressure and increased risk for stroke and heart disease, two leading causes of death in the U.S. Most Americans eat more than double the amount of salt recommended by experts. It can come from places other than the salt shaker, in canned goods like soup and packaged foods like frozen dinners. It's also hiding in breads and cereals. Read food labels, enjoy more fresh fruits and vegetables, and look for low-sodium alternatives. For more information, visit www.cdc.gov. A message from CDC.
Fewer Americans are smoking cigarettes, and daily smokers are smoking less. Although U.S. smoking rates have dropped in the last 30 years, the decline in adult smoking has not been consistent from year to year. The key to accelerating the decline is ongoing, adequately funded, comprehensive tobacco control programs that include 100% smoke-free policies, higher tobacco prices, hard-hitting media campaigns, and access to cessation services and treatments. The more years you smoke, the more you damage your body. Even occasional smoking is harmful. The best option for any smoker is to quit completely. Quitting at any age has benefits. The sooner you quit, the sooner your body can begin to heal. Smokers can get free resources and help quitting by calling 1-800-QUIT-NOW or visiting the website smokefree.gov. You can learn more at www.cdc.gov/vital signs.
Good morning and welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter.com/Joy Keys, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. And also, I would love to hear from you. Send me an email. My email address is SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. The call-in number for today is 646-929-0368. We're going to be talking about women and heart disease, and many of you may not know that that's one of the number one killers of women. Almost two-thirds of women who die suddenly from coronary heart disease have no previous symptoms. This is according to the CDC. So, again, no symptoms for women. You're not grabbing your heart and, you know, falling on the floor. Nothing may occur. Or you may have symptoms that are not similar to men. So that's why we're having the show today. And I have an expert with me because I'm not an expert. I mean, I've read lots of things, but I always need backup. And today I'll be speaking with Dr. Mary Ann McLaughlin. She's the president of the American Heart Association Board of Directors for New York City. She's also the medical director of the cardiac health program at Mount Sinai. And she's also a professor, so she is multifaceted. Her research explores how hormonal differences between men and women affect heart disease. And I believe this is her on the line right now.
Yes, it is. Hi,
Joy. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
It's nice to talk to you.
Calling in.
My pleasure.
Well, for the audience, this is the second time I've spoken to Dr. McLaughlin, and we had a great conversation before, but we had a little technical difficulty, so I was like, I got to have you back, Bob, because she is so knowledgeable and just really, you know, enlightening about this issue of women and heart disease. So, Dr. McLaughlin, I just mentioned that women have no symptoms. Talk to me about this. Why is that? What's the difference between men and women?
Well, thanks, Joy. Importantly, it's true that when they say women who have died of heart disease, so many of them did not report symptoms. But this is the key. They may have had symptoms that they did not recognize. That's why it's so important for us to get this word out, that sometimes women will have a typical symptom we say that men have, was like this feeling of an elephant sitting on their chest. It's a pressure. Sometimes it goes down the left arm, sometimes even to the right arm. But traditionally, though, women might say to me, you know, my bra feels really tight. It goes underneath my breast and around to the back. Or when I'm walking up a hill, I have a pain in the middle of my back. That's another one that you have to take notice of. And thirdly, the jaw. Several women come to me every year saying, I have this pain in my jaw when I walk or when I dance. They go to the dentist, they have a tooth extracted. But in reality, it is a symptom of women. And also, overwhelming fatigue, sweating, nausea, also things you have to talk to your doctor about, because those can be warning signs that are not the classic heart attack signs.
Well, now, I mean, some of those signs you mentioned sound like symptoms for other things. I mean, being overwhelmed, I mean, women are cooking, they're cleaning, they're taking care of their kids, they're trying to go to work, trying to make love to their husband, you know,
right,
or boyfriend or whatever. I mean, so they're doing all these things. I'm not saying men don't do things, but, you know, in general, historically, I mean, it seems like women are, you know, wearing all these different hats. At what point do you say, okay, this exhaustion is a problem? At what point do you say, well, this feeling in my, you know, around my bra is a problem, or this jaw is not gentle? At what point do you say, okay, I need to get checked about my heart?
Right. So the things to watch out for first is that if these symptoms happen either with physical stress, like walking up a hill carrying groceries or walking up the stairs, and then when you stop it goes away, that's an inkling that it is related to the heart. That's if it's in the jaw or the arm or something like that. The other thing is that if it's under emotional stress, so if you look at men versus women, a third of them have their heart attacks when they're under emotional stress. So they're having an argument with a child or their parent or their spouse or a loved one. They feel their pressure rising, and then they're just sitting at their desk, and then they feel the squeezing in the chest. Any of those, you report to your doctor right away. The overwhelming exhaustion is a more difficult one because we all, as you said, have very busy lives and we feel tired. But it's one of these sensations that you just really can't get off the couch, and it's really lasting for a long time, and it's different than you've ever felt before. I mean, we've gone through phases where we get tired, but this is just you really can't get out of bed. And if anything else is associated with it, you definitely should call the doctor and be evaluated, because often women, even though they go to their gynecologist or some other doctors, they might not go to a general doctor or a cardiologist very often.
Well, you know, you talked about them going to a doctor, and you yourself are a doctor. But one of the things I've been reading on CDC, Medline Plus, talking about, doctors are not recognizing or, appreciating, I think that's a phrase doctors use a lot, they don't appreciate what you're saying. They don't appreciate women coming to them about heart disease. What can a regular, you know, a woman do when she goes to the doctor? What can we empower her with so that when she goes to the doctor, they pay attention to her?
Right. So it's really important if a woman can write down her symptoms and questions ahead of time so she doesn't forget. Because I know as a patient, you go in and it goes quickly, and then you walk out and you think, oh, I forgot to ask him or her this. I had it on my mind. But you want to come prepared for your visit and really detailed. If you're starting to have twinges or uncomfortable sensations, get a notebook and write them down and say what you're doing when. And then if the doctor poo-poos you or says, oh, it just must be this or that, say, how do you know? Is there a test that I need? So that's the question. Is there a diagnostic test that I need to be sure? That's number one. And then number two, if the doctor says, oh, no, it's definitely not your heart because your EKG is normal and your blood test is normal, the next question to say is, like, well, what is it? And I'm a doctor who likes to find out, what is it? It might not be in the heart. I have found people who have problems in their spinal cord. They've got a pinched nerve that's leading to chest pain. I've found people who had problems in their esophagus. But you want a doctor who's going to go after, well, what is it? If it's not my heart, don't just tell me, don't worry about it, but find out what is causing the symptom.
Let's talk about risk factors. I know we talked before about the issue of cholesterol and high blood pressure. Talk to us a little bit about risk factors for having heart disease.
Right. So traditionally, there are five different things that you have to look for, and it's important for everyone out there to know your numbers. The first number you need to know is your blood pressure. Ideal blood pressure these days is 120 over 80 or less. So you have to find out what your blood pressure is, have it checked, and know it. Okay, number two, smoking. Smoking is terrible. It causes heart disease, causes cancer of not only the lungs, but the neck, the throat, the mouth. Forget about smoking. Third one is diabetes. Having diabetes increases your risk of heart disease. And in women, it increases it more than it does in men. So there's something about diabetic women that puts them at even greater risk. So you have to know what your glucose level is, what your sugar is, and you need to try to avoid foods that are overtly high in sugar. Four, you need to know your cholesterol. So you want to ask at least by age 20 to have your cholesterol checked, and then it has to be checked at least every 5 years or more frequently if you have a family history of high cholesterol or your levels are not normal. So the numbers to know about your cholesterol, you want to know not only the total cholesterol, we want it around 200, but that's a ballpark, because what I care about is the good cholesterol and the bad cholesterol. The good cholesterol, or HDL, to remember it, we say happy. That's the HDL, the happy cholesterol.
Mm-hmm.
As a woman, you want it over 50. As a man, over 40. That's a protective cholesterol. Estrogen helps you raise your cholesterol. That's why women traditionally have higher HDL cholesterols. And that lousy cholesterol or LDL cholesterol, now the guidelines want you under 100. So that's pretty tough to get unless you're really watching yourself. So you want to know those things. And finally, you want to know your family history. If anyone in your immediate family, brothers and sisters, parents, have died or have had heart attacks before the age of 60, it's very important that you know about it and you tell your doctor.
Let's talk about ethnicity. That's in terms of African American, Asian American, Latino American. Heart disease is extremely a large problem for Asian Americans. Talk to me about your knowledge about ethnicity and how it affects heart disease.
Sure. Importantly, heart disease is the number one killer of all ethnicities. And different populations are affected slightly differently. And in fact, when we talk about African American women, importantly, 46.9% have some kind of cardiovascular disease, but only one in five believes that she's at risk. So it's important that we get that word out. And that and less than 50% of African American women in one big survey knew what the signs and symptoms of a heart attack. So in an African American population, the hypertension is a very prevalent illness, and it can be a silent disease. So people can go on for years not knowing they have it unless they get checked by their doctor. And so it's important to know those numbers, because if hypertension can lead to increased risk of heart disease. And then in the Hispanic community, what we're seeing is an increased risk of what's called metabolic syndrome. And some of it may be due to diet, some of it may be due to genetics, we're unsure. But the metabolic syndrome is for people who tend to gain weight around the abdomen, and it leads to prediabetes. And those patients have a conglomeration of symptoms where their blood pressure goes up a little bit, their cholesterol, their good cholesterol is too low, their triglycerides are too high, and their waist circumference is enlarged. I forgot to tell you, a new vital sign that we have to watch for is waist circumference. For women out there, you want your waist under 35 inches and men 40 inches. Because
I've been trying to go to the gym, and my doctor's happy. I have lost, you know, a couple pounds. And I'm telling you, you feel great. And I was trying to mention this on the shows before. Your health is a full-time job. We're always looking for a full-time job, right? Well, your health is a full-time job, and it comes with benefits. And the benefits are that you're going to live longer. You're going to be happier emotionally. I mean, they use exercise to help with depression. And you'll be, you know, able to help somebody else, you know. So take care of your health. It's a full-time job with benefits. Also, I want to just mention real quick, you mentioned about knowing your blood pressure and then people not knowing their blood pressure, which I find odd because, I mean, even when I go to the OBGYN, they check my blood pressure. When I'm at my doctor's for a sick visit, they check my blood pressure and my weight. Not at my dentist, but at least those two places, I definitely remember they're checking my blood pressure. So what is it, I mean, are the doctors not paying attention? I think you mentioned something that even though it may not be high that day, it could be high on other days.
Right. So, well, what will happen sometimes is a patient will come rushing into the office and, you know, they're stressed or they're nervous and their blood pressure is a little bit elevated. And both the doctor and the patient say, oh, it's not to worry about. You were rushing. But it could be that they're really persistently hypertensive and that the doctors need to not discount the blood pressure that's elevated and say, oh, it's because of X, Y, and Z. So it's important to get the blood pressure checked at different times and different dates. And actually, a lot of pharmacies have the free blood pressure. You go in, put your arm in, and give your blood pressure checked. It's worth knowing. There's something also interesting called reverse hypertension. And I have a population of police officers what this happens to, is that when they're in my office, they're the most relaxed compared to their work life, right? And their blood pressure is normal. But what happens is when I put a 24-hour monitor on them, when they go out into their workload, their blood pressure shoots up sky high. So from 8 in the morning to 6 at night, their blood pressure is high. And those people are not treated. So if you're feeling that your face is flushing at work, or you're getting headaches, or you're feeling tired, maybe your blood pressure is going up at work and you should get a 24-hour monitor.
Well, I mean, one of the things in the chat room people are talking about, they need to exercise. And one of the things I mentioned to them in chat room was just walking. Walking is a really easy thing to do to take care of your health and in terms of, like, your knees if you don't have good knees. But in terms of the symptoms that the doctor mentioned earlier, I just wanted to repeat some of that. Diabetes is one of the things that if you have diabetes, you need to be aware of. Smoking, just don't start. Please, and if you start it, please go get help. I mean, it's just horrible. And secondhand smoke is worse. You're not even inhaling all more smoke is going out into the universe than actually into your body. That's my understanding. So your secondhand smoke is just as dangerous. So if you're living with somebody who smokes, stop, because they can be affecting your heart disease. Let's talk about the issue of age. I was reading about menopause and that menopause increases the risk for heart disease. Talk to me. Why is that?
So it's true that women tend to get their heart attacks usually 10 years after menopause. And as you go through menopause, when estrogen levels go down, the cholesterol changes. So you lose your good cholesterol goes down, your bad cholesterol goes up. That's one of the most striking findings. And the other thing that happens is that the blood pressure goes up. So I'll have a woman coming to my office at age 65 and the blood pressure is high, and she'll say, I've never had high blood pressure my whole life. Well, with age and postmenopause, blood pressure can go up. So it's important to get those things checked. The risk definitely goes up for heart attacks.
One of the things we talked about is air pollution. Someone I know who works for the EPA, they mentioned about air pollution. That's important. That's important. Why is air pollution connected to heart disease? Why is that an issue?
It's so important, Joy, that just in the last 2 or 3 years, we've come out with some major epidemiologic studies, large cohorts of people living in different cities who wear these vests to every day to monitor how much air pollution they're absorbing, right? And they were found to have increased rates of heart disease and calcification in their coronary arteries, in their heart. So the theory is that when you're breathing in these particles, they get into your bloodstream, and they cause your body to have an inflammatory response against them. And we now know that it's not just cholesterol in your arteries, but this inflammatory process that increases the risk of blockages and heart attack. So what I say is, you know, a lot of us, I live right near New York City. We live near this air pollution.
Yes, if you're a lot of air pollution in New York City.
Yes, so if you're right here or in Philly, wherever you are, and you can't avoid it because where your house is and where your job is, what you have to do then is you have to make the rest of your risk factors go away. So you have to exercise 30 minutes a day. You have to keep your blood pressure and your cholesterol controlled. You have to stop smoking if you're smoking. So you want to minimize the things that you can control. You really want to work on those things if you can't control the air pollution. But just to be cognizant of if you have a choice of living in an area that's not so close to the city, think about that.
One of the things that's an issue is that people don't have health insurance. And I know the CDC has a program that's across the U.S. called the Wise Women Program. Are you familiar with that program at all?
I did. I've heard of that. It's a great program.
Well, let me tell the people. I'll put the link on here, the cdc.gov/wisewomen, and what it is a program to provide low-income, underinsured, or uninsured women with chronic disease risk factor screening, lifestyle intervention, and referral services. So the web address is cdc.gov/wisewomen, and on that site you can look up state-by-state information and the services and resources. So that's something to check out. Also, if you're trying to be an advocate for women and heart disease, I'm not sure if you're familiar with this, Dr. McLaughlin. There's a bill that they're trying to push called Heart Disease Education, Analysis, Research, and Treatment for Women Act. It's called mm-hmm. Heart for Women Act. Are you familiar with that?
I am. Boy, Joy, you know more than most people I work with.
So talk to the audience a little bit about this act and what we should do as just a general population to support it.
Yes, we should. I mean, you can actually write to your congressman or representative. It's important because, you know, the congressman in your neighborhood, your town, your city, they actually want to hear from their constituents. And they're much more likely to vote on a bill if they know the people who live in their areas are supporting it. So it's important to go find out who your representative, your congressperson is, and say, listen, I've heard about this women's heart bill, and I support it. So that's one way to do it. The American Heart Association actually has a great advocacy committee. So if you go to heart.org for the American Heart Association and look under advocacy, it can help you with like standardized letters that you can just print out and send and help you find who your specific congressperson is, and you can support all those types of bills. But I think it's important to get the word out, Joy, and I'm very impressed that you know these things, because most people I talk to haven't heard of them, and especially the wise women. That's I've read about that for years and tried to get it. It's a growing movement.
Yeah, it's not in every single state, but it's in a lot of states. And a lot of people don't have health insurance. They've lost their jobs. We're in the, you know, recession. Maybe they want to take care of health. But, I mean, statistics prove, unfortunately, low-income individuals seem to be more at risk for health problems or issues. That could be partly because they don't have health insurance. Or maybe the insurance is not as robust as it should be. And that's why I think the Act, Heart for Women Act, is so important, because it talks about ensuring that gender and race-specific information about new medical treatments are available to clinicians. So it's a very important act. Support that. And as Dr. McLaughlin said, I want to give a shout-out to the American Heart Association, because she is here because Lisa at the American Heart Association connected us. So thank you, Lisa, for that. Want to follow them on Twitter, American_Heart on Twitter. Also, they're on Facebook, American Heart. And, again, the web address, heart.org. So, Dr. McLaughlin, in leaving, what would you tell women about heart disease? What should they do, say, on Monday morning? What's three things they can do on Monday morning to help with their heart disease?
Okay. The first thing I want you to do is wake up and say, this is the day I'm taking care of myself, and I'm changing my life to take care of myself. Because if I'm not around to take care of myself, no one else is going to help my family, my friends, et cetera. You really need to make a commitment to yourself and to stay healthy. Number two, I want you to walk up and down the stairs. Whatever office building you are in, if you're going to work, if you're going to the store, park further away from the entrance of the store. I'm looking for parking spots away from the entrance. You're going to walk at least 30 minutes a day. You want to keep those legs moving. You want to, if you're overweight, you want to walk more and eat less. You want to put the fork down and make a commitment, because every few pounds you lose, your blood pressure will go down, right? The inflammation in your body will go down, and you'll feel better.
Well, I also want to mention people have disabilities. Some people could be in a wheelchair. Some people, their legs may not work, but if your arms are working, you can do simple, you know, you can do cardio with light weights. If you say you're in a wheelchair, you have like a 3-pound weight, 5-pound weight, whatever you're capable of doing. If you're not capable and you're just like, I'm stuck, you need to talk to your doctor about getting a referral for, say, a PT, physical therapy. And those individuals can teach you specific exercises that you can do based on your physical limitations. So I don't want you to think that because I'm in a wheelchair or I'm walking with a cane or whatever, I just can't do anything. No, you can take action towards helping yourself physically, but talk to your doctor about getting that referral so that you can do the right exercises that, you know, won't exacerbate your situation. But don't think because my legs aren't working or something. There's something that you can do. There's some help that you can get. And, again, check out that Wise Women program, cdc.gov/wisewomen. And also check out the American Heart Association, heart.org. They have a lot of resources, state-by-state chapters. Dr. McLaughlin's in New York, so if you're in New York, check her out and support them. But thank you so much, Dr. McLaughlin, for being on the show this morning.
Well, it's been my pleasure, Joy, and keep up the great work.
Thank you so much. You have a great day, okay?
Okay. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the show. Again, check out your blood pressure. You need to know your blood pressure. Check out your cholesterol. If you feel like you're having symptoms and you've spoken to your doctor and they're not listening, change your PCP. It's your decision to be with that person or not. Change your PCP. If you're not happy, call up your insurance company and say, look, you know, this guy, this woman is not working for me. Also, don't ignore things. You know, you may not have the same symptoms as men, but don't ignore things that are being persistent, you know. So keep a journal is one of the things that the doctor mentioned today. And I wish you, you know, much success, you guys, and I bless you. And thank you so much for listening to the show. Past 82,000 downloads, could not have done that without you. I appreciate that. Follow me on Twitter.com/Joy Keys. Become a fan on Facebook. Look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Send me an email. I'd love to hear from you. My email address is SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@Hotmail.com. Stay tuned. The Diva Girl Guide with Cheryl Watlington is next, so stay tuned for that.
Too much salt can drive up blood pressure and increase risk for stroke and heart disease, two leading causes of death in the U.S. most Americans eat more than double the amount of salt recommended by experts. It can come from places other than the salt shaker, in canned goods like soup and packaged foods like frozen dinners. It's also hiding in breads and cereals. Read food labels, enjoy more fresh fruits and vegetables, and look for low-sodium alternatives. For more information, visit www.cdc.gov. A message from CDC.